Good morning. How are we all doing today? Well, for those of you who are new here or maybe didn't hear, Pastor Jim, man, I sound very, very loud today. Pastor Jim had surgery on his ankle. I don't know if he told you how he blew it out. Did he tell you how he blew it out? He was racing his grandson in the foyer and tore some ligaments in his foot and his ankle. I told him, you got to slow it down, old man. You got to not do that. So, But surgery went well. I've been speaking with Kathy over the past couple days, and it is quite painful. He's in a cast. This is going to be a process that's going to take, I think, between 3 and 4 months to be able to get completely healed. Now, that doesn't mean our pastor is going to be away for that length of time. I can tell you that if he could be right here right now, he would be with his foot propped up. Amen? You know him, right? And so he is not able to be with us today. We do want to pray for him. Been quite a bit of pain afterwards. And the getting around, his little scooter cart and some crutches. But that's for those of you who have done that before, you know that's a little tricky to get into play. So just be praying for him as he recovers from this. And in the meantime, those of us who have the ability will cover for him. Now, Pastor, if you've not been here in services, and even if you have been, you know that we have started the book of Revelation, and he's only gotten through chapter 1 in a couple different sections, and so we talked about it as a team before we knew that the surgery was coming, and we decided that as just in getting started, we're going to leave that to Pastor Jim. So, unfortunately, we're not going to be in the book of Revelation today, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't have something to say. And so I knew that I was going to be covering for him for a few weeks now. I've been praying about what God would have me bring forward, and actually sitting in the sermon last week and listening to Pastor Jim, God made it very clear where he wanted me to go today. So we see what we're about to see in the chapter 2 and chapter 3 in the book of Revelations is about the churches. It's about an assessment of the churches. It's about seeing what their health is like and what their condition is like. And as I sat there last week, God put on my heart, what would the assessment be if Calvary Chapel Eastside was one of those 7 churches? And I began to think, well, what, or any church in America right now, but this is the church we got right here, so we're going to talk about this one, amen? And would we be seen as a healthy church? Would there be, you know, would we see those good things? Would we be the Laodicean church, which no one wants to be? What would we be seen as? What would God have to say about what is going on within this particular gathering of the church? What kind of health that is there? And I think that's what it comes down to. Is it a healthy church or not? A healthy church is functioning as it's supposed to. I've told you before, I'm 52 now, almost 53. And when you turn 50, I don't know if you do this, I'll hear a bunch of amens, but when you turn 50, it's like the warranty has come due on your car. It's no longer good. Everything starts to break down. Am I right? Do I hear an amen from that? And the doctor wants to check every part of your body. My wife and I have been talking about this a lot lately because she just turned 50. So, and they want to check everything that's going on with you, which is fine. They can check it all, but I don't like what when they say, oh, you need to come back in because we need to talk about the results. And when I turned 50, I knew that there were some things that just weren't right and healthy within my body. I used to weigh about 300 pounds. I knew that was a problem. And what I was seeing was that my current health was affecting a lot of things in my life. Our health can affect our jobs, our everyday life, our marriages, our ministry, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I knew that there were some problems, but I didn't know the whole story, you know, what things were bad and how was it affecting other parts of my body. I thought it was pretty healthy until they tell you all of these big words of elevation and things that need to be changing. Parts of my body were not healthy. They weren't functioning. And I want a healthy body. I know that I don't want a perfect body. Actually, that's a lie. I do want a perfect body. I mean, come on, guys. You guys see those guys that work out at the gym but don't seem like they ever go to the gym, you know, and they're all, those young guys are all cut and thing. I mean, I'd want that, but I don't want to do the work. I don't want to go to the gym. I just want that. That would be great. George, is there something medically that they can do to make that happen? Probably not. So, liposuction, you're going to need a big vacuum for me. So I want a healthy body, and I want a healthy body for several reasons, because I want a body that's healthy enough to do what God wants me to do. For me, that's very important, and it should be important for all of us. And I also know that I have a limited time on this earth. I don't know when I'm going home. It could be in the midst of the sermon. So, you know, I don't know when God's going to take me home, and I want to do everything that I can that is in accordance with what my word says to function like God wants me to so that I can be used and I can do that. And that requires me to be as healthy as I can. And I've been convicted by those things and I'm doing those things to get those. But that's true with the church too. See, we have a limited time to do what God has called us to do here on this earth for this kingdom. Now more than ever, we need a healthy church doing God's will, doing his work. And I would say that about all of the churches, especially from what we've just come through, what we're still going through in this world. But let's talk about this church. But the first thing we probably need to do today is clarify what's the church. What's the church? Who's the church? We are. We all are. Everyone in this room, anyone who calls themselves a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, we are the church. What people like to say is, well, that church. Well, we are a church building. We are a gathering place for the church to come together. And for some of you are new and visiting, and I pray if this is where God's leading you to, that you come and you stay. It's a great group of people. We have a ton of people that are online as well. But we're opening back up, baby. We ain't playing this game too much longer. I'm not okay with the whatever was going on being the new norm, and I've said that before. We want to come back together as a church because we function best when we're in each other's midst. Amen? And so I'm praying every day that things just keep moving forward. We saw some great strides in California. The government there was trying to stop churches from meeting, and the court said, you just can't do that. And so I know that Satan's tried to use this whole thing to tear the church down, and I think he's had some good luck with that in some areas. But we are the church, us as the beings, and those of us who call this church home, this is our church fellowship. It's our gathering place, but it's where we come together. So the next question is this. Whose responsibility is it for this church to succeed? All of ours. It is everyone's responsibility. Too often, I think we do this, and you can say you probably have done this in the past, and I have as well. We kind of look to the pastor. We look to Pastor Jim, and we think these are the guys that are responsible for the church. The elders and the teachers, they're responsible for the church. Now, mind you, we have our responsibility. If I read in Ephesians chapter 4, it tells me that God has created different positions for different for callings, apostles, evangelists, pastors. But I think that sometimes we put too much responsibility on them to make the church healthy. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 about the callings on a pastor and on callings on leaders. And those are all very important because we do take a leadership role. But what it also says in there that at our job is to equip the people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. We are in this together, or we're supposed to be in this together. Amen? I was reading, you know what? I'm just not in my notes, but we're going to read. If you flip open your Bibles, it's not up on the screens right now because I believe that what you hold in your hands is a very important tool, or if you use your cell phone or whatever, and if you don't have a Bible, they're on the edge of the sanctuaries there. But I'd like you to open it up to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just read through that because I think that kind of lays out what God's asking for us. So Ephesians chapter 4. Did I say 11? I said 4. Chapter 4. Let's just read through that. The title in my Bible says Unity in the Body of Christ. And it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, before I go any further, do you understand what unity means? Unity, sometimes we see unity, and it's like, well, we're getting along. You know, George and I aren't fighting anymore. I'm picking on George. I don't know why. You're sitting right there. He's an elder, so I can do that. But we see that as unity. Unity means that basically that we are joined together as a whole. You get that? That we are working as a team together as a whole. Let's go on. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower and earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, or then, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves or blown here or there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head of Christ. For him, the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It is all of us together. We, as leadership, the elders, the teachers, the people that we have a responsibility to work, to build up, and to encourage, and to get you to a place where you're walking in maturity and an understanding of God's word. So it's all of our role together. We agree to that? Amen? I feel like I need to skip over part of my notes here. We need to be clear about something. You're affecting the church, this church, whether you're doing what you're supposed to do or not. Amen? But whether you are using your gifts that God has given you for a purpose, and I want to say this very clearly, there is not a person, according to my word, there is not a person in this world that does not have a gift or gifts given by God. Do I see a head shake? Sometimes we want to go, well, other people have gifts. Everybody has been given a gift because everybody's supposed to play a part in what we are doing and what God is doing and what God's work is being played out in man. Everybody has been given a gift to play a part in that. Now, maybe you don't know what your gift is. That's okay. But you know what? In the world that we're looking at right now, it's time to figure out what your gift is because it's needed. Amen? We can't sit around anymore and say, well, someone else can do it. It requires all of us together. You can't opt out of this thing. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, it is time for you to actively seek out what your gifts are and put them to work because God can do amazing things when people do that. He can do amazing things in your life. I've told you that. You know, I could tell you how many people, I just want to see this, have ever been able to sit down with somebody who was not saved, who didn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you personally got to pray with them, and by the time you were done praying, that person came into the kingdom of God. And there's no guilt here, but how many of you have gotten a chance to do that? Can I tell you, if you're not raising your hand right now, you are missing out on something that is so incredible. Because it isn't me, has nothing to do with me. It's God working through me. It's God's words. It's his conviction. But I got to tell you, it's the thing that will change your life forever to see someone going from the gates of hell to the gates of heaven, and their life has changed forever. And I can tell you that can happen if you start using the gifts that God's given you. Say, well, I'm not an evangelist. Okay, that's not, there's lots of different callings and lots of different giftings in here. But if you're not using your gift, you're affecting the church no matter what. Whether you're using your gifts or whether you're not, whether you are functioning properly or not, whether you're doing good or not. And I got to tell you, now you're thinking probably, because for those of you who know me think, well, he likes to get positions filled in the church that where we have needs. You're thinking, the Sunday school class, the children's ministry needs teachers. So Pastor Tracy's teaching. No, not at all. Because what I'm talking about here does affect this church, but it's also outside this church. If this is the only place that you ever function in your gift, there's a problem. Your gift is to be used wherever. But I will tell you that there are things. The church is a great place. Just to encourage you, if you're just getting started and want to test things out, the church is a great place to say, well, I think I could probably do that. I'll help out with this. There are things that go on within this fellowship that really could use your hands. And when you don't, or you're not willing to, because we come together as one body together, when you don't, it puts an extra load on other people. So I just encourage you to say, well, I think I could do that. Again, that's not where it stops. It's not what I'm talking about here. But there are things we can step up because we say, as a church, we have a mission, a plan, a ministry that's supposed to be happening within and through this church. And that's like, you know, and we talk about the kids in the Sunday school department. How important are they? How many of you heard about Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from a Sunday school teacher? There you go. Just one. I can tell you that my son, I've been a pastor for quite a long time, and my son, who I talked about God, we talked in our house all the time about Jesus Christ, about our personal relationship with the Lord, but it was a Sunday school teacher, I think it might have been you, who shared the gospel with my son in such a way that we were standing in a Walmart parking lot, or not a Walmart parking lot, we were actually in line at Walmart, and the line was long, and it was taking a while, and my son, who's now, how old is he now? My wife's not in here to tell me. He's like 27. There you go. I knew that. But as a very young man, he stood in line and he turned to talk to me, and he expressed what God had told him through a Sunday school teacher. And I said, "Do you want to get saved?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." So we went out to the car and we prayed. That's where my son gave his life to the Lord. And that was because of someone who just said, "I'll be used. I can do that. That may not be my total gift, but then again, it might be." And that's why I say, I encourage you to say, there are a lot of men who are now leading churches and pastoring who started by teaching a Sunday school class just to see if they had the gift. And God honed it through that process. So I just say, be open. It isn't just within these walls. It can't be just within these walls. It is not just about these people here. It's about reaching out to this lost and dying world, because Colorado Springs has a whole lot of people who do not even believe in Jesus Christ and need to hear about him. Okay. So we've got to put our gifts in. Whether the church is healthy or not, really. You can come into a church, and we've done that. Let's be honest. We've been in other churches. Maybe you even thought that about this church time. As you come in, you're like, "I don't think things are where they're supposed to be." But is the fellowship, is the church that resides within here, are they healthy? Depends on the health of the individuals. Just as within my body, there are parts of the body that if they're not functioning, then other parts don't function like they're supposed to, and it can other problems can arise, or I'm not at my best. You know, this part's not at its best because this part's not healthy. The same is true within the church fellowship. If the parts of the church are not functioning properly, it'll affect the overall health of the body, and we'll not be at our best. And not just any part, but all parts. Every part, every person is crucial to its proper function. Every person. Paul, you can flip open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul wrote a little section about the importance of each different part of the body, and I'd just like to go through that starting in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. And I need a drink of water. Okay, hopefully we're all there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." And amen to that. "And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other." I like that. "And if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And I love that picture that we suffer together. Do you know how that really works? I love this church. I know some people like those really big churches, and I think they're great. I know some pastors from some of those big churches, and that's wonderful. With the size of church that we are, if you're new here, if you're looking for a church, I'm just going to warn you, what really works well within this fellowship is when we get in each other's business. When we know what's going on, when we live transparently with one another. I think that I see that in God's word. I can walk in the door, for your new folks that I haven't met, sorry if I didn't catch you when you came in today, but love to get to know you. But I look around and I know people. And for some of you, we've shared different struggles and difficulties and things that are going on in your lives. And I think that's great because that paints that picture right here that when another one's going through a hard time, we pray over them. What you're going to find here, and I think that we need to see all the more. We went through that section where we didn't want to touch anybody. Okay, you can hold your hand 6 feet away when you pray for them. But what we do here, if you say, I need prayer, we gather around you right there, don't we? We gather up, we pray, we lay on hands, we anoint with oil, we pray, and we say, this is, you know, God, would you meet with this person? You know, can you fix this situation? Can you heal? Whatever the case may be, we're big on that. And I think that's very important that when we hurt, when we come back later, you'll find that, that's great. And we do something here for those of you who are fairly new here. We do Communion Sunday on the first Sunday of the month. But then on the second Sunday, we do a thing we call the Golden Bowls of Prayer. We put some bowls up here. We pass out these things where you're supposed to fill out if there's a prayer request that you have. And, we have the people on this side of the room, put them in the bowls over here, and this side of the room, put them in the bowls over here. And then the ushers will switch them at the end of service, and you grab them. If you put one in, that you grab one, and you're grabbing somebody else's, that you pray for them. And if there's a name on it, and you know who it is, you can go encourage them, and you can let them know, I've been praying for this, how's it going? And I think that's a great picture there. Now, I believe that what Paul wrote this section for was that there were some divisions. Some people were having some attitude. They were thinking they were all that. I'm more important. You know, I preach, I teach, so I'm more important than you, than this and this. You know, some. But I think that's what it was. That's why he wrote what he wrote. But I also see in this scripture and throughout scripture, there is a personal responsibility to fulfill our part in this whole thing. To be that part that God has placed me, to function as God created me to function. And I'm going to say this right now, but I believe, and I'm not here to cast these stones because I'm taking a look at myself in the midst of all of this. The church is sick. The church is sick. Again, let's go back to what I said was sick. My body was sick because there were parts of it not functioning like there needs to. And I'm not here to point any fingers. I just know what the Holy Spirit's told me to say. And the church is not functioning as it could be. We are not functioning at our best. There are some of you who are doing amazing. I could stand up here and rave on some people that I know how they're functioning and being used by God and using their talents and their gifts. But there are parts of even this fellowship that are not functioning how they're supposed to be functioning. And I'm not here to, like I said, I'm not here to cast stones. But you're not doing what you were created to do. And I think what has taken a big toll on us is this whole pandemic thing. Now, it is what it is. And I know this. I know, and I share this, if you've been in counseling with me or you've heard me preach before, you know that I say this quite often. There is nowhere, as I have studied God's word, that I have ever come across a scripture where it said God was caught off guard. Would you agree with that? Like nowhere it said, and God looked down and said, whoa, how'd that happen? You know, and nowhere do we see that, right? We know that he knows the beginning. We know that he knows the end. He knows what I'm going to say in the next sentence. He knows all of these things. And so he knew that pandemic was going to come our way, right? He knew that the challenge were going to be before us. He knew what damage it could cause, or what people actually, he knew where we would be right this very moment in every church across this world. He knew that this is where we would be. My encouragement in that is if he knew we got here, he knows how to get out of this place, right? And if he knew we'd find our, but I get it, you know, we've been socially distanced, we have been pulled apart, we put masks up, and you know, I think God, that I hate that, I get you, not the wearing the mask, I wear the mask when I go to Walmart, but not being able to see each other's faces, I miss that. There's expression, especially in the church, and I know here we give you the choice, you can wear a mask, you don't have to wear a mask, you can social distance, you cannot, but you can find, and you'll see in this church, we're grabbing on each other, we hug on each other. But it's caused a lot of damage, and Satan has had his way. Satan has run with this. And I think there have been times when we went through this pandemic. I've never been through a pandemic before. Anybody else been through a pandemic? I have not. And so when these rules came down about church and those things, I know a lot of people said, well, why did the church stop meeting? And we've talked about that with a bunch of you. We felt very strongly this is what God, we need to follow what we're hearing right now. Right now we're being kind of grouped with everybody. Everybody's kind of doing this. And we did our best. God blessed us with a new camera to be able to push out a better signal. But that's not the same as being here. And I'm not chopping anybody that could be at home, because there's some people that have health issues that probably shouldn't be around other people right now, just as they would during the cold and flu season. But we did what we felt we were supposed to do. And we followed what we felt that we were supposed to follow according to God's word, that we're supposed to obey those that were overseeing us. But that didn't mean that we didn't see things happen. And I think a lot of people, this is not a point of finger sermon. We got to take a self-assessment right now. That's what this is about. Where am I at? What's my gift and calling and my talents? And where have I backed away from them? Is God's word, did it change because we had a pandemic? Did his calling on our lives and the need to tell people about Jesus Christ, there's for a time we're going to take a break? I don't think so. We have to get creative in those things, and I think many of you have, and I'm very blessed by that. But I think this is the biggest cause that we've had for the church to take a dive a little bit across America, is because of all that's taken place. And we can rebound from that. When I went through my checkup, like I said a few years ago, I found elevated blood sugar levels and elevated liver enzymes and cholesterol and blah, 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 blah. They use words and terms to categorize you that I just don't like. I'm not obese. Come on. God just overdid a good thing. But when I sat in that office and I heard that there was there were, according to their test results, there was an issue, I had a choice to make. And my doctors are good at presenting both sides. Here's what you can do here, or we can do this. My one choice involved some medications and stuff that I could just cover up, which I'm sure a lot of people want to do in this world. You can just keep living like you're living, just take all these pills, and everything will just kind of work okay. That was one choice. I hate taking pills. The other choice was, you can make some life changes. You can really take some self-assessment, and you can change things. You can bring it back to a more better function, a more correct function. And I truly want my body to function as good as it possibly can, where I have the energy levels to do what God wants me to do, that I have the physical capability of doing everything that God wants me to do. The church needs a checkup. The church needs a checkup. The church. We are capable of doing everything, so that we are capable of doing everything that God wants us to do. We need to get back to a healthy place again. And all the parts are needed. You and your gift is so important to the work of the ministry, to the work of the kingdom, to what God wants to do. You are so important. God created you before there was anything. He created you in the womb. He created you and knew what you could be. And I got to tell you, for those of you who've been involved in ministry, maybe those of you who raised your hand about leading someone to Christ, when you are doing what God has told you to do and you see things happen that you're like, what the heck? Where did that come? I mean, I've been in conversations. God's put me in places where I've been. I am not a good street evangelist. I'm just not. I'm not. Got Doug down here. He's great at street evangelism. I'm not great at street evangelism. But God has put me in places on the street where things have happened and conversations have come place, and I've walked away and went, where did that come from? I quoted scripture. I love to study God's word, and we can talk about it, but sometimes people go, what do you think Philippians 2:1 means? And I'm like, well, I have to look it up first. I can't remember what that is. Pastor Jim, he can go, oh, well, that, the history. I mean, he can go off and go crazy with it. I have to look it up. My mind just does not work that way. And so when I have things come out of my mouth, I know that that's God working through me. And it is an amazing thing. And all I'm doing is being available to be used by God and using my talents and my gifts. And the same can happen with you. And we can see changes around us. I had to make a choice. Church needs a checkup. And each one of you is important. And so I'm telling you right now, if you're saying, well, I've kind of been sitting back a little bit, it's probably time for me to start stepping up. What could God do in this fellowship? What could come out of this fellowship that we could see changes in our areas of influence around us? If everybody said, no longer am I going to sit back. I am going to find out what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do that. I may be going through some tough times. I'm going to deal with those tough things, and I'm going to start doing what God has told me to do. I may have fallen off into sin. I'm going to repent of that sin and get back to where God, because God wants to use me. What could happen? What would that look like? Pastor Jim and I have been talking quite a bit. We have on days when we have an office here, we often, something will come up, current event or something, and we'll sit in there and talk for quite a bit about that. And we've been talking about the condition of the church and where it has gotten to, where the model of the church has kind of changed. So you can flip open your Bible while I'm still talking here to Acts chapter 2. You know where I'm going to go. And we see this picture of what I consider to be an almost perfect church. It can't be perfect because there's people involved in it. So it's imperfect. But we've been talking about this model that was the church, where the church first started, where it all began. And it's a great example of a healthy, functioning church. Let's read it. Even though you probably read it 1,000 times, let's read it. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. I hear pages turning, I'll wait. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What a healthy church. What a healthy church. I mean, sometimes I'd love to, if I could go back in time, that's one of the times I'd want to come in when the church was taking off and God was doing miraculous things. And I want to encourage you in something. If you have not been through the book of Acts recently, I encourage you to sit down and read through it and see how amazing when these people were on fire. There was passion about their belief and they were all coming together and using their gifts and talents together. And it was, but understand, the apostles were involved. They were teaching and preaching in the courts, and it doesn't say just them that they were teaching in there, because the people were constantly in and out of the church. And I know it's a little different today, but you can be constantly in God's word. They were spending time together. This church was healthy because it was under the action of all the believers, not just the apostles. And I got to believe that when a good portion, there might have been people that were coming in, you know, or new to the church or new to the fellowship, but as they saw all of these people, this buzz of what's going on and people investing in another, they're like, I want to do that too. I want to be a part of that. And so people were being drawn into that. And everyone invested in the work that God had laid out for them and laid out for that particular fellowship, not just a few, not just a handful of people. So Pastor Jim and I have been talking about this because, you've heard us talk a lot about small groups, and this is not a sermon about small groups, but it is in that the church has kind of changed a little bit. As you look around, we see a lot of empty seats, and that's because for some people, they can't because they have health issues. For some people that we've talked to and met with and encouraged, there is a little bit of a fear about coming out in the midst of a large group of people. And I'm not here to judge them whatsoever. That's between them. I've got to pray for them, encourage them, to come out and to be a part of things and whatever we need to do to accommodate them, absolutely. But I think that's something that's kind of permeated through society, amen? So we used to be, this is kind of where church has gone to. It is, oh, I know this one brother, man, and he really needs Jesus. So I've been inviting him to come to church so he can hear about Jesus. And that's the kind of the model. You've said that probably before. I've said that before. Where there's this idea that we get people, we want them in here because this is where they're going to really learn. This is where they'll find Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, that's not quite the case anymore. We're seeing a change in society. Will it change back? I hope so. I'm praying for that. that we get back to where we're not afraid to come out. But we have an opportunity right now to do things like I see that these believers were in Acts where they were opening up their homes and having people coming in, a smaller gathering. That's one of the reasons why we talk about the small groups. They are not a replacement of anything. They're an additional thing to be able to get people to come together that might not be so comfortable in being out there. And we have several small groups that are acting already, and you can talk to them. I know Debbie's over here. I don't see Dennis, but Debbie's over here. You could ask her about their small group, and that's how they minister to people on a much smaller level. We are past that point where you just say, and I think that's a good thing. We need to go back to this model. Can I say that? We need to go back to what the second chapter of Acts was showing as a model where we all become passionate and excited, where we can all minister together and use our, I think, opening up our homes is a great thing. That's why we encourage these small gatherings, because we do believe that ministers to a lot of people that can't come out or won't. So we need to intentionally move back to that model. If we can first just make a personal assessment of our lives. I'm not here to judge you. I don't know what's going on in your heart. People oftentimes in counseling will go, will you tell me what I'm supposed to do here? No. What's the Holy Spirit saying? You need to be on your knees before the Lord, because I'm a man. I can tell you what I'm seeing or some concerns that I have, but you need to find that clarity in front of the Lord. So that's where the assessment comes from. God, what do you want from me? How am I functioning? Are there any things that you have against me? Is there something that I need to do and change? You know, and the great part is that we serve a God who has shown us grace. I don't know about you, and if you're not saved here today, you're probably going to go, what? But when I got saved, God forgave all of my past sins, which I got to say, I was pretty good at doing. Paul would say he's the chief of sinners. I know what my life was like before Christ. And he forgave all of my present sins at the time. And he forgave all of my future sins. And he says that in his words, and he casts those off. So he doesn't look to me through the sins that I have. But he will guide me and direct me when there's things that I need help to step back. So first thing is a self-assessment so that we, of ourselves, if we come back with the passion of our faith. You remember like when you were first saved? You know, so I've met people when they're first saved, they're so over the top excited. They're out on the street telling everybody that they can about Jesus Christ. I think we need to get back to that passion. And we can all join together. We can regain our health as a church, as the church. Focus. Focus is everything. Is your focus right now on just generally life and work, or is your focus on your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you seeking first Him and Him taking care of the rest? That's where our focus is supposed to be, right? They were passionate because they had their focus right. They were passionate in purpose every day of their lives. And we see the results. People were drawn into that, just like I said. They wanted to be a part of that. What's going on? What's going on with you? I hear you talk about your church. I want to be a part of that. They were drawn into the midst of those people. The people were coming to salvation. The church was affecting the world around it, and not the world affecting the church as it, unfortunately, is doing right now. I am a news junkie a little bit, and I am shocked at some of the things that I'm hearing out there and churches taking. I'm not here to judge them, but what I see from the fruit that's coming out from them, they are letting the world decide what they're supposed to do. They are letting the world change their ideas on things that we see very plainly in Scripture, and they're letting the world direct them. And in turn, they're letting the world direct the people that are within the fellowship as well. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We can have an influence and should have an influence on the world around us. Can you imagine what it would be like in this fellowship right now? If everyone that sits here today and everybody that's online, everybody that's just not here today, we have quite a few people that call this church home, even though there's some spaces. We have quite a few people that call this church home and attend different things around the church. But can you imagine if everyone in this congregation individually said, I need to stop. And you stop and take a look at myself and see where I'm at, see what God wants for me. Taking a hard look at what part they're playing or not playing within the function of the church in the world that we live in and in this particular fellowship. young men would start having dreams again, visions would happen, God's calling and on men and women. I believe that in this fellowship, there are men who are called to preach God's word. I believe that there are people who are being called into ministries or God's reaching out to and calling, and they might be ignoring it or not stepping up for it. There's so many people that I have heard stories of that have obeyed that calling. If you were at the ladies' breakfast yesterday, you heard Gina share that very thing on how God called out to her and spoke with her, and she was kind of obedient at first. But God made very clear what she was supposed to do, and when God asked through another person in this fellowship, she said, "I already know. God's already made very clear to me what I'm supposed to do." That's cool. Thank you for being obedient in that. But it needs to stop being something that we just imagine. We talk about it and say, "Amen, Pastor, we should do that." And then everybody goes home and worries about what they're going to be cooking on the grill or something else. And we not focus on what God has in front of us and what he's calling us to do. I want a healthy church, do you? Do you? Healthy believers populate a healthy church. We got to get ourselves where we need to be. Healthy believers affect the culture around them. We are studying in the book of Revelation. That kind of came about through Brother Bill back there, brought that to Pastor Jim, and because of the culture that we're living in and where we're at in our world today. And so that's how that kind of came to play, so that we could kind of go back through what we're going to see in the end times. And how many of you believe that we are in the end times? You know, of course, the believers back then did too, didn't they? So I don't know. I hope it's soon. I don't know how much worse it can get. It's getting crazy out there. It's getting scary out there. The church is starting to come under attack, and it's not going to change, folks. It's going to continue to go that way. We need to be prepared. We need to be built up to be able to continue to function through it. But we're studying that book because we believe that the end of this world here before Christ's return is coming. It's coming to an end. I do believe that. I hope for a few more years. I'd like to see some grandkids first, but who knows? Hope my kids are watching. Especially Taylor. You need to... No, I'm saying. If you know a nice young woman to fix him up with, and so he's going to kill me for saying that. But if you believe that the end is coming near, it is time for us to get active. I don't want to just pack up my bags and sit here and wait for Christ's return and say, okay, well, whenever we're waiting for you to come back, and we just lock up and don't do anything. In fact, all the more right now, we should be rising up as an army for the Lord Jesus Christ and using our talents and our gifts to be able to share the gospel with the world around us. Amen? We can't sit back on our laurels anymore. Now's the time, if we truly, truly believe that we've got to get into action. We've got to start making some steps. And I want to tell you right now, if you're sitting in this congregation or if you're watching online, if you're not saved, brother, sister, you better get there now. It's an easy step to do. It needs to come from your heart and come from your mouth to confess that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and that you want him to save you. And then you want to be used by him, that you want to be a part of this whole thing. So it's time for action. It's time for us to be intentional. That word, stick that word in your head, intentional, from this point forward. It's time to take personal responsibility, all of us, myself included. I know that there have been things, God has been showing me things in my life that's been kind of a thing that's been droning in my head for the last probably about a year. I want to be a better man. And better man just doesn't mean that I'm a better male, that I'm a better man, that I'm a better man before God, that I'm looking at everything in my life and asking God, is it beneficial? Is it something that you want in my life? Is there something that needs to go from my life? That I'm digging more into God's word and saying, God, show me things. I want to see great and amazing things. I want to see what my path is laid out, what I'm supposed to be. Those are things, even as a pastor, that I am seeking after, and I'm encouraging you to please do the same thing, for us to be intentional about being all that God wants us to be. I've shared that before, that there's God's permissible will and there's his perfect will. I don't want his permissible will. Do you? I mean, that's like God saying, okay, well, that's where you want to be. I want to be like right in the spotlight. I want to be right in the middle of it all and say, and I know I can't be perfect because I'm a human being, but I want to be walking in that place where I know that my step, each step, you see it in God's word, you know, you see Paul and his travels and God saying, go this way, don't go this way. I want that. I want to know every step of the way what God wants me to do. And I find that by being intentional about this and drawing closer and pray about it. Everybody says, well, I'll pray about it. Sure. Okay. Pray about it. But hasn't God been pretty downright, painfully clear in his word that he wants to use you? Amen? He wants to use you. He wants you to use your gifts and talents. So what have you been waiting for? We can see that time is growing short and it's time for Christians to return to, because his return is nearer. And one of the things I see, so we say, where do we start? First of all, is for you to seek the Lord. Lord, how do you want to use me? But there is something that I see. And this is probably, I'll say that this is something that God's been speaking to my wife Kelly and I. She runs, for those of you who are new here, she runs the Connect Center. She's sitting right back there. I won't make any jokes about our marriage being an arranged marriage for a woman in Russia or something. I get in trouble when I do things like that. She's a great wife. And God has drawn us together as one. We're on, this year is 30 years we've been married. So we're looking forward to that. We're excited. But that's not been because of ours, but because it's been drawing close to the Lord. And even in our house, you know, there's something about living. It's not just about, okay, well, I'm out there ministering. It will affect your home. It'll affect your home when you live in that place. I've shared this before. I'll do it real quick. We live in a very small house. For those of you in my house, I have less than 1,000 square feet upstairs. It's 121 years old house near downtown. We don't have a lot of space. Growing up in ministry, that the kids never had the top of the line video games. We had a Nintendo Wii, which I hear is like really cool again all of a sudden. All of the teenagers are like, oh my gosh, that's nostalgic. Anyway, that's what we had. We didn't have anything fancy like that. We weren't wealthy. Kelly was a stay-home mom, and I worked here at the church. Or before that, I was a painter. We didn't have a lot, but there was something about, we worked hard, not perfect ever. Because in the early days, I had a lot of baggage that I needed to work through, and my God saved me from those things and rescued me from those things, mainly because of my wife's prayer life. And I was a very angry person. I tell everybody I've hit everything in the house except for my wife and my kids. I've kicked the dog even a few times, but I didn't, you know, I was an angry person. I didn't know where that was coming from, and God rescued me from that place and brought our home to a place of peace. And where we would have young people come over to our house, and they would say, I just love it here. And I'm like, what? The Totino's pizza rolls are that good? I mean, we just didn't have, and they leave and we would talk to each other and go, what is that? Well, it was God's peace because God was being allowed to run things and make decisions and guide and direct us. It wasn't me. It was God's being allowed to work. Totally got off track of what I was going to say there, but where are we going to start? This is something that God's talked to Kelly and I about. Fellowship. You say, well, what do you mean, fellowship? No, it's not about fellowships and us having church fellowships. It's about opening your home up or opening yourself up for fellowship. It's a good place to start. Just a good place to start after finding what we're supposed to do. What fellowship does and what these home fellowships do, what these small groups do, is create community, create intimacy, and they create momentum because that is making disciples. And what are we called? What is the one thing that we are called to do as Christians? To go and make disciples. How that happens can be a lot of different ways, but that's really what we're supposed to be doing, is to go and make disciples. And they did it by opening up their homes, gathering together. Koinonia. It means fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, intimacy, a gift jointly contributed, a collection, a contribution. Really, the picture of this church that we see in Acts is that everybody that was saved stepped up and said, hey man, I'm here. Here's what I can do. Here's how I can be involved. They use their gifts to bless one another because you know your gifts are not for you. You'll get blessed by using them, but your gifts are not for you. They're for me. They're for these people over here. They're for these people over there. They're for your neighbors. They're for your family members. They're the people that you meet at the grocery store. That's what they're for. They used their gifts to bless each other and to further the kingdom. They had a single focus, and that focus was working together for the kingdom. We need everybody in the fields. Matthew chapter 9, 37 says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way, and it can't be that way. Guys, we're coming. We're coming up on the end. We talk about, Pastor Jim will say from the front here that he would love to see an end times revival where people just came in flocking in. I think there's a lot of people in this world who are have distorted views of what the church is like, and they would never step foot in this building. But they will listen to you. You can talk to them. If you want to know how to do that, Doug down here, he's a master at that. If you want to know how to talk to people and say, just walk up and have conversations and lead it back to the Lord, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, we can learn how to do that. We can be better at that. And that's the world is just in a place where I think the church, yeah, they don't want to come here. So I just want to ask you today, would you search your heart today? Would you personally search your heart today this week and seek what God wants to do, how God wants to use you? And again, it is not about filling spaces in the church. I think we should all work together. When we come together, we can all move some chairs. We can all wipe. We can all work together because we just want to interact. We want to be family together and interact together. But what does God want to do with you? How does he want to use you to affect this kingdom, to lead people to the foot of the cross? How does he want to use you to do that? Because he wants to use you to do that. He has given you talents and gifts to do that. He has given you a teacher like our pastor who is very gifted in God's word to be able to instruct you so that you can understand God's word, so that you can take it to those people who ask crazy questions. And if you think it's hard to answer crazy questions, Dennis Vasquez, he calls me with some of the craziest questions that people ask him, but he is dedicated to say, I'm going to answer it. I'm going to give you an answer for that. And he's just in there. He's in the thick of it around people who are not believers and sharing the gospel through answers. God wants to use you to make disciples. He needs teachers. He needs leaders. He needs encouragers. There's so many gifts and talents out there, and he wants to use you. So all I want to ask you, band, you guys can come up. We're going to close out here. That's all I'm asking you today. We can learn everything that we want to about what's going to come at the end, and we will as we go through the book of Revelation. Guarantee it. If you haven't been here for part of that, you need to come back. Hopefully our pastor will be back in the pulpit next week. That is our prayer, so pray for him. He's probably going to be on the floor because he can't climb stairs right now. But we're hoping he's going to be back here, and I'm going to guarantee you that you will learn something greatly, a better understanding of what's coming as we go into these end times. But that's great knowledge to have. And great to know what's going on, but it does not stop what we are supposed to be doing as the church, each one individually but together, what we are supposed to be doing to tell people the end is coming. And God loves you, and he wants to save you. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into a worship song to close things out here today. Father God, thank you for allowing me. Thank you for allowing these great people to even be a part of the process. You didn't have to use this at all. You have the power to do anything and everything that you want. But out of your love for us, you gave us each gifts that play a part in this whole thing so that we could be involved. Because you change us when you use those gifts, we use those gifts and talents, we're obedient. Through your strength and your power, we use them. We are changed people. And I thank you for allowing that because you didn't need to use me, but you did, but you chose to. And I know that you love me and that you love every person in this room and on that video feed. Lord, help us to rise up in the church in general, but especially even in this fellowship. If there's somebody here that's like, I've just been struggling and I know what I need to do, then I pray that they would come to a place of confession this morning and that they would leave this place with their heart clean so that they can start going forward and doing what you've called them to do, to act, to be intentional in their ministry and what they do and how they use their talents and their gifts, Lord. And I just pray that they would come to that place of repentance, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much. thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. And even in the midst of this, when some of us may have dropped the ball, that you're right there saying, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's change this world. Lord, help us to step up as the church. We love you. We thank you. And it's in your great and glorious name.